This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Arm talent. I mean, you know, arm talent. He could extend plays when he wants to. He does not necessarily want to run, per se, although he'll do that. He's hurt some people doing that, but he can, his arm talent, his ability to fit the ball in multiple locations and push the ball down the field with accuracy, you know, it really stands out.
Eric Washington, Bears defensive coordinator, talking about C.J. Stroud, against whom the Bears will be playing Sunday night. Let's find out more about the Texans with our old friend Ron Hughley, afternoon host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston, on Twitter at Real Ron Hughley, with us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Good to talk to you again, sir. How you been?
I'm good. How y'all boys doing? That's what I want to know. How y'all fellas doing?
The way you have that chipper in your voice tells me that you have a better disposition towards this game on Sunday night than maybe the people in the city of Chicago do.
I'm just a lot going on over there. I'm just certainly curious how y'all doing. That's all I'm feeling right now, baby.
All good here. Hopeful that the Bears offense is going to improve against yet another strong defensive test, man. But this is not one that people here expect the Bears to win it, and hasn't been, regardless of where they are. But it's complicated a little bit by the rookie hiccups that we saw from the exciting quarterback in the first game. What's the feeling down there about C.J. Stroud's sophomore campaign?
Well, Stroud in particular, obviously confident. I mean, these people don't know what to do with themselves about C.J. Stroud. Even some of the, you know, mistake. I say he's in God mode right now. He can do whatever. And to the point that you made there, we had a remote yesterday, and the first two people we saw was two Bears fans.
Oh, really?
And Dan, they walked up to us. They had all their Bears stuff on. I mean, I first quick glance, I thought they were Astros fans because they were wearing orange. But no, you could see it was Bears. He came up to me and whispered to me in my ear, "I don't think we're going to win on Sunday."
Wait a sec. So you not only did you run into Bears fans, you ran into realistic Bears fans?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I think more people are realistic about this week than people want to admit. Tell us just when you say, like, he's in God mode, obviously, C.J. Stroud, like, what are the biggest weaknesses right now for him as an individual, as a quarterback? I mean, he's obviously not a finished product. It's year two. It's the beginning of year two, you know, and I think people forget sometimes that C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, I think they're a month apart in age. So, like, what can you tell us about him in terms of his weakness? I mean, does he have a kryptonite?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, when I say God mode, I'm talking about with the fans.
Like, okay, how they treat him.
However Michael Jordan is in Chicago, that's pretty much where C.J. Stroud is.
Whoa.
Wow. Hey, okay. And that's where I am every day. Hey, don't let Ron say something critical of C.J. Stroud. They want me to go move back to Kansas City every chance you get. Now, this is the deal to me with C.J. And listen, I think it's going to become an exciting brand of football. But his level of confidence from last year is through the roof. His level of confidence in the guys around him, with the Stephon Diggs addition and Nico Collins, who's gone off, and Tank Dell and the backs with Joe Mixon, his level of confidence in those guys is through the roof. See, last year he was about the, hey, I'll take the boring stuff. I'll take the easy stuff. Hey, I won't try to push the thing. I won't take a chance if the defense is giving me 7 yards. I'm going to give them that. No, not this year. CJ done got a little confidence. And I love it. And I think it's going to be better. He is now throwing the ball in traffic. He is now have confidence to push the ball and try to make plays. CJ is not just about this taking the boring stuff. He is trying to make plays. And if you watch the game, he put the ball in harm's way more often than he did. Last year, he threw 5 interceptions. He threw about 3 or 4 intercepting type balls. I'm talking about running to your right and throwing it back to the middle of the field. He had one picked off, but it was a penalty. He threw another one. The guy just couldn't keep his foot in bounds. I think the big turn is the Colts showed him something different They took away the early first moves and first reads and made him have to do more and look at more of the field. So I don't like he was fine in the game to his standards. He was fine in the game, but you are seeing teams are trying to do different things to him and not just let him see what he saw a lot of last year.
What are they doing?
Like I said, I think they're making him hold the ball longer. Like it was CJ. Hey, I'll take it quick, baby. I'll take these first reads and have nothing, no problem with it. I think they're trying to put more pressure on him. I know Flus likes to sit in zones, which is could be problematic because I think he could kill that, especially with the receivers. But the Colts said, to hell with that, man. We're going to send a lot of pressure, and we're going to play up tight and try to take away the very first read you have. And I think that is the adjustment. And he talked about it this week. We left some plays out there. I left some plays out there. I could have helped my offensive line and my offense a little bit better than I did.
You mentioned Matt Eberflus. He gave Bobby Slowick a big compliment when asked about C.J. Stroud and his success and his development. And Eberflus said he's been coached well to stay in the pocket. And not only is that a compliment to a guy who I thought was going to leave for a head coaching job last year in Slowick, but it also, I think, gave us an indication as to how they want to develop their own quarterback. Do you agree?
No, I do, and you can see their games are very similar because in just this aspect, I don't want to get anybody to twist up words, in just this aspect of their games in terms of when they choose to run and when they choose and how they choose to negotiate the pocket, it's Mahomes-like, right? Like Mahomes doesn't just take off and run all the time. A lot of times Mahomes is moving in the pocket to create a better throwing lane or to buy some time. It's not just to take off. I think CJ does that too. But when CJ does take off, like he had a big run in this game against the Colts, you know, it's kind of sparingly. But I think Caleb is in that same vein to kind of buy time instead of just taking off and moving in the pocket, not to run, but moving in the pocket to try to get somebody else open.
I want to follow up on something you said when you talked about him throwing in harm's way more often now. I don't know if that's very, very recent, as in just the season opener this year, or is that something he was doing in the playoffs last year? But the reason I want to know more about that is because, as you mentioned, he's only thrown 5 picks, and he's been so good at protecting the football. Well, this Bears, as you know, is a very opportunistic defensive team. They invite that because they feel like that's where they can make their hay, if you will. Do you feel like that's going to be a bigger challenge for him now, or is he habitually line-stepping in terms of trying to, you know, take more risk? Or do you think because he had put the ball in harm's way this last game, he might dial it back a notch?
No, I think this is kind of the next step that he's taken. I think we see it. When I say in harm's way, I don't think he's going to go. He's not about to be, you know, Jameis. But I mean, but the great quarterbacks in the league, Mahomes and Josh Allen and these guys, they'll take chances and not necessarily just take the check down, but they'll take a chance when they feel confident in their guys. And like when he gets out to roam, I think in year one, it was like, hey, this is the NFL. This is a new level. Let me just take what they're giving me. Let me learn the game a little bit more. Now he has the utmost confidence in the guys, especially like him and Tank Dell seem to have a really good, and he would be the one I would watch on off script plays. Him and Tank Dell seem to have a really good connection when it comes to that. And he's got confidence that his guys will go up and make a play. And I just think the natural progression of confidence in the game has jumped up. And it is definitely something we have talked about this week is Brisker and Johnson. And we saw Stevenson get the pick six. I don't know what Will was doing there, but whatever. Like we saw them get the pick six. They are a group that will pick the ball off. And to me, I think that's the biggest chance for the Bears is it feels like what we watched last week, that they're a team that would need help to stay in this game. And CJ probably should dial it back, but I don't think he will. I think he will continue to take chances. But I think for the Bears, that's the way that I think they stay in the game, is if he makes some of these mistakes.
How good do the Texans think they are? And I don't mean that snarkily. I mean as far as where they have set reasonable expectations. I mean, knowing getting past Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in their conference is certainly a tall order, but do they believe that they're contenders?
Absolutely. I think they believe they're contenders, and I'm a actions over words, and their actions in the offseason screamed, we feel like we are going to take a run at it.
How so?
We're damn near all in. I mean, you go out and you get a Danielle Hunter, and you pay him like a huge contract, but only in 2 years because you're trying to keep the windows with your quarterback and your other big players. They go out. They were trying to get Keenan Allen, who the Bears end up getting, but they get Diggs. They brought in Joe Mixon. They were trying to get Saquon Barkley, but they had to kind of come down to get Mixon. They're inside. The only places where they struggled, they tried to swing and get Arik Armstead, but he went to the Jags, even though they thought they had a deal done there. They have tried to make a ton of moves to add to the roster of ready now star potential Pro Bowl level players to add to this group. And you can just also see from day one in training camp, there was a different type of swagger. There was a different type of feel of, you know, we have confidence. This isn't just the, hey, man, can we win 7 to 10 games and can we compete? There is a different level of confidence with this entire group, and they look and feel like a team. I covered the Chiefs for years.
You still do cover the Chiefs.
And I still do cover the Chiefs, but I covered them day to day and saw them day to day. You could see the flip from Mahomes when he, you know, his first rookie season to the next year, and you could see this team felt like they were in a different level and carried themselves in a different level. And I think I'm seeing a little bit of that from the Texans at the start of this year.
Ron, you mentioned the offseason moves and just going kind of an all now while we've got this quarterback on a rookie contract thing that the Texans are doing. The Joe Mixon move, I think a lot of people, because of how we look at running backs, you know, run them till the wheels fall off. Getting him in now, his eighth year, and to see the workload that he had, 30 carries, 159 yards, 3 catches, 33 yards in week one, and to hear Bobby Slowick say, hey, it's not really something that's we think is a problem for him to have that many carries. How much of a difference is he making in the backfield, and especially when you talk about being able to maybe get a lead and just run that clock, because he was giving me clock-killing Corey Dillon vibes watching that game against the Colts.
Well, yeah, that was the story of the game. I don't know who the hell was out there in those 5 uniforms in front of them. I've never seen that offensive line block like that. Kenyon Green, I didn't think could play football. And he came out there and he just absolutely mauled and destroyed people in a way I've never seen before. They even influenced Laremy Tunsil to get a little tough. I mean, he's a pass blocker, but hell, he ran somebody over, and I don't know if I've seen Laremy do that in 4 years. But that Joe Mixon was a big story, and in his ability to run the zone, it's huge to see it from a guy in Damian Pierce who's still kind of trying to learn when to cut back and how to operate in that system. But you can see Joe seems to cut back in the perfect lanes at the perfect time and runs that to perfection. But I'm going to tell you the truth. He didn't really have to make a lot of decisions. I mean that line was pushing the Colts, and I'm talking DeForest Buckner and company, pushing the Colts 4 or 5 yards off the ball before he was even having to make a decision on what he needed to do. So Joe Mixon's a big deal, and I believe Bobby Slowick's lying, by the way. 33 touches.
Yeah, that's a lot.
For a ball game, you might want to pull that back just a bit. I'll be honest, and I was one that wondered, the Cincinnati Bengals are in win-now mode. This is before they played the Patriots. They're in win-now mode. Why in the world would they let him go for Zach Moss and pay Zach Moss more than they would actually have to pay Joe Mixon? There was something that jumped out to me. Do they know something? Well, week one, they didn't know nothing. he was injured a lot during camp, which was kind of an eye-opener thing. He missed like 3 weeks of camp with a leg injury. But, man, Sunday, like that's the big thing. Y'all, the linebackers and Edmonds and Brisker in the secondary, he's going to finish a run now. They better be ready to go. He is moving forward. I don't think I ever saw him get tackled and didn't fall forward one time in that game. So he's a big key. If the Texans can run the football like they did last week, now we're in a different space. Now we're talking about the Chiefs and the Ravens. Oh. If they can consistently do that.
Why did Bobby Slowick stay?
I just don't think he found the right spot. I was surprised that more teams didn't come after him. I don't know that he really actually got offered a gig, Dan. I don't. Now, I think him and Johnson in Detroit are going to be the top two guys if this thing goes the same way, as long as he doesn't get Mike Kafka'd. And I don't think he's dealing with Daniel Jones. He's got C.J. Stroud, so he should be fine. But I just don't think it was out there as much for him. And the big knock on him in the 1 year and now, like, this will take off if it continues, is his struggles in developing a run game. He hadn't been able to develop a run game at all last year. And week one, they looked like the place he came from, the 49ers. That's what they looked like in the run game. So if they can continue, but no, he's a real deal. Bobby Slowick. That's the thing is, and I know you guys are dealing with this, you know, what is Shane Waldron? You didn't know. We didn't know who he was. He had never put together an offense. He had never had to call plays. And then he came in, and you could see it within 3 or 4 weeks, like, oh, they got one of the good ones out of that tree. They didn't get one of the bad ones. They didn't get the Nathaniel Hacketts. They got one of the good ones out of that tree. And he has been an absolute game changer on the sideline.
You could have said Luke Getsy instead of Nathaniel Hackett.
I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that to Bears fans. I didn't want to do that. I don't know how Luke somehow got him a job with the Raiders.
They did.
To do the same thing, but I didn't want to do that to you.
Ron, thanks so much, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
That is Ron Hughley, afternoon host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. This segment has been brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.